So we are in 1 Peter again, 1 Peter all the time for these two weeks. We are in 1 Peter chapter 2. If you want to turn there, and I will get it going. I have it on the screen already. And we are in this passage. This morning we discussed Peter's expression of the Christian political ethic, as we called it. So our message this afternoon is the capstone of that discussion. It's the last verse of the passage, a terse collection of four imperatives. Peter is concerned with the inner life, of course, and as we've seen as we work through 1 Peter chapter 1 and the first little bit of chapter 2, they focus on the inner man and our response to salvation. Describes our glorious salvation in chapter 1, verses 3 to 13. I think maybe it's 3 to 12. And then in the second, the big section in that begins chapter 2, there is that description that of the new life that we have. And he quotes the Old Testament scriptures and talks about the living stone, Jesus Christ, who makes us into living stones. And in between those two passages, he has those commandments. He wants us to live in expectation of the Lord's return, in imitation of his own holiness, in reverence to his majesty, in affection with his people, and with an eagerness for his word. And all of those things have to do with the internal development of the Christian life. When you come to God in faith, you believe that you cannot save yourself from your sins, that you must trust in Jesus alone to save you, then he begins to inculcate in you these spiritual qualities. And you begin to follow after him. You begin to live for him. Now, that transformation that we are describing and that we constantly come back to in the New Testament also means a transformation not only of our inner life, but of our outer life and in the world around us. And so now we're focusing on outward things. And the first specific outward thing that Peter addresses is our relationship with the state, with government, with human kings, or with whatever substitute we might have. We have a queen, but she's sort of powerless, pretty well. She's just sort of a functionary, in a sense. So it's a little bit different. But where was I? I switched the page and I lost my spot in my notes. All right, so we can look at these things as a matter of duty, all right, and we can approach them as a matter of law and then think of it in legalistic terms, about how we must do this and this and this and develop a checklist and all of that. But in reality, that's not what God is after. God is always after our heart. He's after the inner man. As the inner man develops, it will express itself in the ways that the Scripture commands us. And though there are things that we don't like in our world, we will follow them from the heart because we are following the Lord. There are certain aspects of authority that I, quite frankly, don't like. I don't like being told what to do. I don't know if, maybe there's some of you that do. I'm not sure if there is anybody, but maybe there's somebody who will tell me that, oh, I love to be told what to do. Just tell me what to do and I'm good. And then I'll tell you something and see what happens. And, and we'll see how that goes. Alright, so I don't like those things, but I do love the Lord. And he teaches me that the right way to live in this passage, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Well, okay, I'm going to do that for the Lord. I'm going to do that for the Lord. Alright, so the capstone verse at the end of this passage addresses our attitudes in these relationships, but especially in relationship with the king. So we're going to get there, but let's read the passage again. Beginning with verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So that's our text, that last verse. And you see those, it's very straightforward. Just four commands, imperatives, right? One after the other. And so very terse verse, but we're going to talk about that. And our title tonight, or this afternoon, is Honor All. Honor All. And I notice that our version they spell it the American way, you know, down there. It sort of is something you have to resist. It says, how about if I get in the right chapter? I can't find it. Okay, chapter 2, verse 17 there. Honor all people with just no you in there. You better honor because you need to put that in there. So honor all. I have to call attention to that. Okay? Now, here's the proposition. Submission expressed positively turns into others-oriented respect. Right? So the command, the imperative that began this passage is submit yourselves to every human institution for the Lord's sake. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. We're talking there. It's quite clear he's talking about government. He mentions the king, mentions the governors. But there are other human institutions that we've talked about this morning that are included in that kind of attitude. But it is this one here, this command, to honor all, that we are going to be looking at as we study this today and work on that proposition. Submission expressed positively turns into others-oriented respect. So the first point is I have the broad attitude towards all. So we have this verse here, honor all people. Now, I want to notice the structure of the verse. So, four imperatives, and I've got the grammar here in my thing, but you'll just have to bear with me. I'm not going to show it on the screen. But the first one is a certain tense, certain grammatical tense, all right, the verb, honor all people. And then, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Those are all present tense imperatives. Now, this morning, I was talking about the imperative of decision. That's in the first one, honor all people. The imperative of decision. And then we have all of these, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Present tense imperatives, that means there's continuous action. The idea of the present tense in Greek is that you are viewing the action as happening. It's a process. And so I've given it this title. We have the imperative of decision. So we have a call here. Honor all people. You've got to make up your mind about this. Honor all. But now, imperatives of practice. This is something that you should put into practice in your life. Love the brotherhood. I mean, it's something that is a constant. It's something that's required all the time. Imperative of practice, fear God. You're always supposed to fear God all the time. And honor the king at the end. Honor the king. So another imperative of practice. Now, it's interesting to notice in the commentaries that there is this, in this case, there is a twofold division. Some of them say the tenses make no difference whatsoever. Okay? Peter just happened to choose to use one in a different one in the first one and similar ones in the last three. And others say, and they all interpret this in either as a chiasm. You see, you have honor on the two ends. So that's the one end of the chiasm, and then you have the central love, the brotherhood, fear God in the middle. Well, maybe. And then others have, will interpret them in pairs and so forth. So, and that's possible. However, the difference seems to have a reason. It does seem to be deliberate, the choice of a different tense. In a succession like that, it seems to me that he wouldn't do that by accident. It's not just doing it to vary his speech patterns. He's doing it for a reason. And so then, I'm saying, and this is the way I take it, I think I'm going to be a little bit definite here. We have these debates in the commentaries, and sometimes I say, well, one says this and one says that, and it's up to you whatever you think is best. Well, I'm gonna call this one. I'm gonna say that it is the first one, the imperative of decision, honor all people, is the overriding imperative in this verse. It covers all of the other three. Okay? And actually, you say, well, wait a minute. People, are you? How does that fit with fear God? Well, because people isn't in the original. That's just added for our understanding. Okay? So, this is a challenge then. Honor all people. This is the decision that you need to make. The King James says, in its translation, it says, honor all men. It puts men in italics. Now, usually the New American follows the same practice. For some reason, they didn't in this case. The word all, just by itself, is a... Sometimes when it stands by itself, that's what it means. It means all men. It's just one of those words that you can imply all men or all things or whatever group or category you're talking about. So you can do that. The phrase, however, I just want you to note is simply honor all persons, we could say it this way. And so when he calls us to fear God, making the phrase unspecific certainly expands the application to God. God is included in the all whom we should honor, whom we should make up our minds, that we're going to have an attitude of honor and respect towards these persons. And I think we can say each one of those are persons. All right. So what does honor mean? I already have touched on this, but the basic meaning is to set a price on something, to value something. So in a metaphorical sense, it means to show high regard for, to honor or revere. Okay, so this is the broad attitude towards all. You look at the brotherhood. You're to have a high regard for the brotherhood. We'll define what that means in just a moment. You look at God. You are to have a very high regard for God. And you think about the king. All right, so this is the capstone of this passage where you start, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Honor the king. We're to have a high regard for the king. You say, well, wait a minute. Okay, he's talking about Nero when he's in his context. Have a high honor all. Make up your mind. You say, well, wait a minute. He didn't know Justin Trudeau, right? He didn't know Joe Biden. He didn't know Joe Biden, right? Okay. I mean, what is he saying? Honor all. Yes, he's saying honor all. Have a high regard. Okay, so you're saying, whoa, preacher, you're getting in trouble. This is an imperative of decision. So there's a need for a conscious decision. It is contrary to our natural me-first superiority. We decide to pay respect to all. Somebody was saying to me, I forget which one of you said this out in the hall there, but something along this line that we always think of ourselves as so important. We're the people. Okay, we are nobody else in any generation. And when it comes right down to it, in our generation, we are the people, yes, but I am the person. Right? And other people, they get our toleration, not our respect. Isn't that true? Do you ever feel like that? I'm sure you do. You're either lying or you're... All right, so the broad attitude towards all. Now, the specific attitudes towards the three classes. Love the brotherhood. This is Peter's term for the church. It occurs only here and in 1 Peter 5:9. It doesn't occur anywhere else in the New Testament. And interestingly, Peter never uses the term ecclesia, church, in either of his epistles. It's just a little interesting. He has a little bit different approach in that way. Now, the command echoes a frequent refrain in the New Testament. Love one another, John says repeatedly in his epistles. Love the brotherhood. Love the love the saints. This is a thing we're called to. Love one another. Love one another. You see it again and again in the New Testament. All right? This is a frequent refrain. Our relationships with one another is a high priority of the spiritual life. And so we choose to subordinate ourselves. We honor all. We actively express that choice when we are loving the brotherhood. So there's the present tense. And so it is interesting to me to think about how I have, in the 30 years here, I have changed. When I was a young preacher, I was pretty sure of myself. Some people say, you're still pretty sure of yourself. Well, okay, I understand that. But I'll tell you something. I have found in the last 5 or 6 years a greater regard for the people of the church than I've ever had. And I've noticed, it just seems to me, the way I think is different. I'm so grateful for what God has done in bringing you as a part of this body. It is a great privilege to serve with you, to be a part of this body together. And I think that's the love the brotherhood. You need to cultivate in your own life this practice. You start with that decision, honor all. But you cultivate it. You get involved. You involve yourself as much as you can. You sacrifice your own time, your own wants, your own preferences, so that you can contribute to the good of one another. Love the brotherhood. It's a process. It's a constant need. It's something that we're called to do. It's part of this. You know, you make up your mind. If you make up your mind, honor all, then this is going to result. You will honor the brotherhood. You will love the brotherhood. Okay? The second one, fear God. Another frequent refrain in the Bible. We've already seen it in 1 Peter in chapter 1. We know that it means reverence, worship, submission, and respect. And there's an echo here, actually, of Proverbs 24:21, which says, and I have this on the screen, my son, fear the Lord and the King. So fear God and the King is mentioned in Proverbs 24:21. Now it's interesting here that there is a slight difference with Peter. There's an echo, of course, of Proverbs 24:21, fear God, fear the Lord. But he doesn't say fear the King. Doesn't say reverence the King. The King of Proverbs is the Davidic King, the line of the Messiah. Fear the King. The King of Rome is Nero. Not called to fear him. Not called to reverence him. This is, I think this makes a significant difference. Now, in the first century, when Peter's writing this, emperor worship is in its infant stages. Some commentators have taken this and they've talked about how, you know, in the ancient world there was emperor worship and Christians were required to show a sign of loyalty by offering some incense to the emperor. That's all you have to do, okay, to show your loyalty to the emperor. No, I'm not going to worship the emperor. He's not a god. The previous emperor, Claudius, seemed to have been done away with, he was revered by certain people as a god, literally, before he died. They wanted to give him this honor. They had begun to honor, this is after Augustus had died, they'd begun to honor Augustus as a god. There might have been a temple to Augustus, I can't quite remember. After Claudius died, there was a temple built to Claudius. And they'd have a whole, you know, priests coming in and doing sacrifices to Claudius because he was a god, right? And Nero, of course, he's a wannabe god, okay? So there's some speculation that this was rampant in the first century, but in reality, this didn't really get going until the late first century or even into the second century when they really were ramping up the emperor worship. Okay? So I don't think that's really what the difference is. But I think the difference is this. Only God is to be feared. Only God is to be feared. All right? So we have to have reverence for God. This is an inner attitude. Christians, I think, are in a modern Christian world, I think there is a somewhat too casual approach to God. People, you've heard of people criticizing, I'm sure, the Jesus as our boyfriend songs that proliferate in so many churches. Now, I'm not quite sure what all that means. I've read the lyrics of some of them. They certainly don't seem reverencing to me. However, here's the thing. Our music, our preaching, our lives should fear and reverence our God. So we should have a sober kind of worship. We should not be casual about God. We should not think that we can live our lives any way we want without any regard to the way God wants us to live. And so fear God. Fear God. And this is part of honoring all. If you have come to this place in your spiritual life, you're hearing Peter's words, and you hear this command, make a decision. Honor all. All right, now if you're going to make that decision, here's what it means. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Fear God. Have a reverence. Okay, you can make that decision. This is what it means. And then it also means honor the king. Now this is again a present imperative, so it's a command of duration, a command of practice. It's not just a one-time decision. It speaks to an inner attitude, honor and respect. But note, it is not the person, but the office that is due the honor. A quote here from Tom Constable, he says, "We honor them because they occupy the office. We do not just honor the office." All right, so we're not just, you know, if our prime minister were to show up, we should be respectful. I don't much like the man. I don't like his politics at all. That's my personal view. You may like them. I don't know. But we have to be respectful to him, not just the office. Okay? Peter commanded us to honor the king and all who are in authority over us, not just the offices that they occupy. We may not respect someone, but we can and should honor them by treating them with respect. And so this is the capstone of the passage. Submit yourselves for the sake of the Lord, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be the kings or the governors. And then he comes down to the end of the passage and he gives us this decision to make. Honor all. What does that mean? That means love the brotherhood. That's a practice. Fear God. That's your practice. Honor the king. Honor the king. Be respectful. All right? Well, the heart attitude creating this spirit. The spirit that afflicts the human spirit the most and the worst is pride. We know better than others, especially the king. Okay? He's out of touch. He doesn't even know what we're going through. And that's probably true. Probably true. We perform better than others. That's the way we think of ourselves. We focus our attention on others in relation to ourselves. When we look at others, we're always comparing them to ourselves. And we always come off better. That's pride. Okay, that's the way we are. Yet the Holy Spirit transforms our inner spirit. And so this is the part that the Spirit plays. He educates our mind. He tells us the truth in the Bible about ourselves and about the world we live in. He informs our conscience about how we should think and feel about things. He impresses our will about what we should do. And there is a part we play. We decide in our inner man. We purpose in our heart. And here's the challenge. Honor all. Are you going to do it or not? Are you going to do it or not? The result of our following the Holy Spirit is a happy attitude in our world, a happy attitude towards all in general, a love for the brotherhood, reverence for God, and respect for the king as the king, right? Or whoever might be our rulers, right? So the conclusion then brings us back to the proposition. Submission expressed positively turns into others-oriented respect. It's not cowering. It's not groveling before the king as the king. It's not, you know, some kind of degraded debasement of self, but it's simply as a free man. He says, act as free, the previous verse, act as free. Okay, submit as free. It is, but it's expressed positively this way. By honor, by respect, by love for the brotherhood, by fear for God, and honor for the king. We all must reflect on this. The people God calls us to serve are made in the image of God, just as we are. And as we serve them, we serve God. So honor all. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we've had this afternoon to consider this word. It is one that brings our thoughts on this passage to a conclusion. Lord, I pray that as we seek to live and serve you, that you would help us to have the right kind of attitudes. It's so easy when we see sometimes very foolish decisions made by our government officials. It's so easy for us to develop a spirit that is not in keeping with your spirit. Oh Lord, I pray that you would help us to love the brotherhood, especially those in the church. That we would reverence you, that we would follow after you, and that we would learn to honor the king or those authorities that you've placed over us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.